Well, for the last couple of weeks in our journey through the Pilgrim's Progress, we've discovered the kind of fellowship that is available when Christians join together and share and bear, as John Fawcett described, our mutual woes and our mutual burdens. And that is what has been taking place between Christian and faithful after they caught up with each other on the other side of the valley of the shadow of death, if you remember. Well, after Faithful shared with Christian some of the unique trials and temptations that he faced along his way, they came across another pilgrim. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Another pilgrim by the name of Talkative. And as we go through our Pilgrim's Progress story tonight, you're going to see why his name is Talkative. The person who talks with Talkative is Faithful. And we see a dynamic between Faithful and Christian, how Christian, because he is probably more understanding of the Scriptures at this time, is going to be counseling Faithful in his relationship with Talkative. But before we begin our journey through this chapter of the Pilgrim's Progress, I want to forewarn you that it is a bit longer and more tedious than our other readings because the guy's name is Talkative, so he's a little wordier than normal. But this talk with and about Talkative in our edition covers 10 pages. And we've only been doing like 3 or 4 pages at a time. We're actually going to divide it in half. We're not going to read the entire 10 pages tonight. We're going to do it over the next 2 weeks. It is such a long section in the Pilgrim's Progress that critics have considered to be the weakest point of Bunyan's tale. I thought that was interesting. And that might even be the case. I'm not really sure. I'm not a critic of this particular book. But we do know that Pilgrim's Progress is not an inspired book like our Bibles are, even though it is full of scriptural truth and thoughts and words. But I do think that there was a method to Bunyan's madness when he wrote this part of the story. You see, Bunyan was a man of his time, and we're going to see that as we go through. He lived and preached and wrote during the era of the English Puritans. The English Puritans were known for their deep and doctrinal thinking and preaching and writing. And you can profit greatly, as I have, from reading the Puritans. But in their writings, they're also known for being very detailed, but also very wordy, very verbose. I was going to bring up some of my Puritan books and their tomes. They're huge. Sometimes it's hard to really get through a particular topic because there's just so much there. And ultimately, if you think my outlines are detailed, you really ought to read some of these Puritans. Well, there is a danger in knowing much and in saying much. We're told this in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 7, where it says, "For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities." In other words, you can be very proud because of what you know and what you say. But then the writer of Ecclesiastes says, "But fear thou God." You see, there's something more important than words. There's something more important even about knowledge, and that's applying what you know, especially in the fear of the Lord. In other words, though words matter, words are not all that matters. Words do matter. The word does matter. But those words are not all that matters. And that is the point that I think Bunyan was trying to make in his very lengthy account of Talkative. He is addressing an important issue in the church of his day, and that's why he spent 10 pages in doing so. John Kelman, who wrote a commentary on Pilgrim's Progress, puts it this way. Bunyan was a Puritan writing about another Puritan. So he's describing what might happen in the Puritan church of that age. Because even though it might have seemed like there was a lot of fire in those lengthy discourses, and when you open up one of those books, you can be very much impressed with just how much is there and how much they're talking about and how much meditation it took to be able to even come up with these things. There might have been a lot of fire, but there may not have been a lot of heat. So it wasn't so much a problem with a mind as it was a problem with a heart. Some critics actually think that Bunyan had a particular person in mind. And I'm not really sure I would have wanted to be the person that was the model for Talkative. Some of you might think as we go through this that I am. I hope not. But graciously, that person has been lost to history. One other item of background is that there is, again, he's a man of his time, and he is not inerrant by any stretch of the imagination. And he uses a terminology, a racial epithet, if you will, talking about someone that is untrustworthy. And back in that day, a Turk was considered an untrustworthy person, and that's going to be reflected in the tale. But we all know that it doesn't matter who you are, you can be untrustworthy. I think even the Apostle Paul described how the Cretans were known to be slow and lazy and things like that. So we all know that that can happen no matter what culture. So I want to just kind of put that out there because he was a man of his time, and we need to understand that as well. So as we read through this. So we're actually going to start on page 45 in our copies and our editions of the Pilgrim's Progress. If you don't have a copy with you, you can actually pull up the reading online. If you have your phone with you, you can go to growatgrace.org. Excuse me. And if you go to About and Weekly Bulletin, you will find a PDF link that you can click on and read through it. So we're going to actually start on paragraph 2, which is where we ended last week. And we're actually going to read through page 49. So bear with me, but I think you'll understand why this guy is called talkative. Page 45, beginning with paragraph 2. Moreover, I saw in my dream that as they went on, faithful, as he chanced to look on one side, saw a man whose name is Talkative, walking at a distance beside them. For in this place there was room enough for them all to walk. He was a tall man and something more comely at a distance than at hand. To this man, Faithful addressed himself in this manner. Friend, whither away? Are you going to the heavenly country? I am going to the same place. That is well. Then I hope we may have your good company. With a very good will I be your companion. Oh, come on then, and let us go together, and let us spend our time in discoursing of things that are profitable. To talk of things that are good to me is very acceptable with you or with any other. And I am glad that I have met with those that incline to do so good a work. For to speak the truth, there are but few that care thus to spend their time, as they are in their travels, but choose much rather to be speaking of things to no profit, and this hath been a trouble to me. That is indeed a thing to be lamented. For what things so worthy of the use of the tongue and mouth of men on earth as are the things of the God of heaven? I like you wonderful well, for your sayings are full of conviction, and I will add that what thing is so pleasant and what so profitable as to talk of the things of God? What things so pleasant? That is, if a man hath any delight in things that are wonderful. For instance, if a man doth delight to talk of the history or the mystery of things, or if a man doth love to talk of miracles, wonders, or signs, where shall he find things recorded so delightful and so sweetly penned as in the Holy Scripture? That is true. But to be profited by such things in our talk should be that which we design. That is that, I said. For to talk of such things is most profitable. For by doing so, I, a man, may get knowledge of many things, as of the vanity of earthly things and the benefit of things above. Thus in general, but more particularly, by this a man may learn the necessity of the new birth, the insufficiency of our works, the need of Christ's righteousness, etc. Besides, by this a man may learn, by talk, what it is to repent, to believe, to pray, to suffer, or the like. By this also a man may learn what are the great promises and consolations of the gospel to his own comfort. Further, by this a man may learn to refute false opinions, to vindicate the truth, and also to instruct the ignorant. All this is true, and glad am I to hear these things from you. Alas, the want of this is the cause why so many understand the need of faith and the necessity of a work of grace in their soul in order to eternal life, but ignorantly live in the works of the law by which a man can by no means obtain the kingdom of heaven. But by your leave, heavenly knowledge of these things is the gift of God. No man attaineth to them by human industry or only by the talk of them. All this I know very well. For man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. All is of grace, not of works. I could give you 100 scriptures for the confirmation of this. Well then, said Faithful, what is that one thing that we shall at this time found our discourse upon? What you will. I will talk of things heavenly or things earthly, things moral or things evangelical, things sacred or things profane, things past or things to come, things foreign or things at home, things more essential or things circumstantial, provided that all be done to our profit. Now did Faithful begin to wonder. And stepping to Christian, for he walked all this while by himself, he said to him, but softly, "What a brave companion we've got. Surely this man will make a very excellent pilgrim." At this, Christian modestly smiled and said, "This man with whom you are so taken will beguile with that tongue of his 20 of them that know him not." "Do you know him then?" "Know him? Yes, better than he knows himself." "Pray, what is he?" "His name is Talkative. He dwelleth in our town. I wonder that you should be a stranger to him, only I consider that our town is large." "Whose son is he? And whereabout does he dwell?" "He is the son of one Saywell. He dwelt in Prating Row, and he is known of all that are acquainted with him by the name of Talkative in Prating Row. And notwithstanding his fine tongue, he is but a sorry fellow." "Well, he seems to be a very pretty man. That is, to them who have not thorough acquaintance with him, for he is best abroad. Near home, he is ugly enough. Your saying that he is a pretty man brings to my mind that what I have observed in the work of the painter, whose pictures show best at a distance, but very near, more unpleasing. But I am ready to think you do but jest, because you smiled." "God forbid that I should jest, although I smiled, in this matter, or that I should accuse any falsely. I will give you a further discovery of him. This man is for any company and for any talk. As he talketh now with you, so will he talk when he is on the ale bench. And the more drink he hath in his crown, the more of these things he hath in his mouth. Religion hath no place in his heart or house or conversation. All he hath lieth in his tongue, and his religion is to make a noise therewith." "Say you so? Then am I in this man greatly deceived?" "Deceived? You may be sure of it. Remember the proverb, they say and do not. But the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. He talketh of prayer, of repentance, of faith, and of the new birth, but he knows but only to talk of them. I have been in his family, and have observed him both at home and abroad, and I know what I say of him is the truth. His house is as empty of religion as the white of an egg is of savor. There is there neither prayer, nor sign of repentance for sin. Yea, the brute in his kind serves God far better than he. He is the very stain, reproach, and shame of religion to all that know him. It can hardly have a good word in all that end of the town where he dwells through him. Thus say the common people that know him, a saint abroad and a devil at home. His poor family finds it so. He is such a churl, such a railer at, and so unreasonable with his servants that they neither know how to do for or speak to him. Men that have any dealings with him say it is better to deal with a Turk than with him. For fairer dealing they shall have at their hands. This Talkative, if it be possible, will go beyond them, defraud, beguile, and overreach them. Besides, he brings up his sons to follow his steps. And if he findeth in any of them a foolish timorousness, for so he calls the first appearance of a tender conscience, he calls them fools and blockheads, and by no means will employ them in much or speak to their commendations before others. For my part, I am of the opinion that he has, by his wicked life, caused many to stumble and fall, and will be, if God prevent not, the ruin of many more. Well, my brother, I am bound to believe you, not only because you say you know him, but also because, like a Christian, you make your reports of men. For I cannot think that you speak these things of ill will, but because it is even so as you say. Had I known him no more than you, I might perhaps have thought of him as, at the first, you did. Yes, he did receive this report at their hands, only that are enemies to religion. I should have thought it had been a slander, a lot that often falls from bad men's mouths upon good men's names and professions. But all these things, yea, and a great many more as bad, of my knowledge, I can prove him guilty of. Besides, good men are ashamed of him. They can neither call him brother nor friend. The very naming of him among them makes them blush, if they know him. Well, I see that saying and doing are two things. And hereafter I shall better observe this distinction. They are two things indeed, and are as diverse as are the soul and the body. For as the body without the soul is but a dead carcass, so saying, if it be alone, is but a dead carcass also. The soul of religion is the practical part. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This talkative is not aware of. He thinks that hearing and saying will make a good Christian, and thus he deceiveth his own soul. Hearing is but as the sowing of the seed. Talking is not sufficient to prove that fruit is indeed in the heart and life. And let us assure ourselves that at the day of doom, men shall be judged according to their fruits. It will not be said then, did you believe, but were you doers or talkers only? And accordingly shall they be judged. The end of the world is compared to our harvest. And you know men at the harvest regard nothing but fruit. Not that anything can be accepted that is not of faith, but I speak this to show you how insignificant the profession of talkative will be at that day. This brings to my mind that of Moses, by which he describeth the beast that is clean. He is such a one that parteth the hoof and cheweth the cud. Not that parteth the hoof only, or that cheweth the cud only. The hair cheweth the cud, but yet is unclean, because he parteth not the hoof. And this truly resembleth talkative. He cheweth the cud, he seeketh knowledge, he cheweth upon the word, but he divideth not the hoof. He parteth not the way of sinners, but as the hare, he retaineth the foot of a dog or bear, and therefore he is unclean. You have spoken, for aught I know, the true gospel sense of those texts. And I will add another thing. Paul calleth some men, yea, and those great talkers too, sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. That is, as he expounds them in another place, things without life giving sound. Things without life, that is, without the true faith and grace of the gospel, and consequently things that shall never be placed in the kingdom of heaven among those that are of the children of life, though their sound, by their talk, be as if it were the tongue or voice of an angel. Well, I was not so fond of his company at first, but I am as sick of it now. What shall we do to be rid of him? Take my advice and do as I bid you, and you shall find that he will soon be sick of your company too, except God shall touch his heart and turn it. What would you have me do? Why, go to him and enter into some serious discourse about the power of religion, and ask him plainly, when he has approved of it, for that he will, whether this thing be set up in his heart, house, or conversation. And we'll stop there. As you can tell, talkative is a rather wordy fellow. But again, he was all talk, as we see here, and as we're going to look here tonight. The first thing I thought, though, when I read this part of the story, was that had to be a pretty wide path for those three fellows to be walking on, for the one to be talking about the other and the other's not hearing it. I mean, I wouldn't want to be talked like that if I'm on the same path. But I think here, Bunyan really wants you to rely on your own imagination as you think about these three men walking down that path. But I think that the point of this talk with talkative is this. When it comes to our walk with the Lord, we need to beware of being all talk. We need to beware of being all talk. And in the time that we have left tonight, I want to highlight just a few things about this. First of all talk is deceptive. when it is not backed up with the truth. All talk is deceptive if it's not backed up with the truth. This is one of the main things that Christian stressed to Faithful after Faithful thought Talkative to be a very bold and courageous pilgrim. Faithful would say, hey, let's bring him along. And Christian said, whoa, wait a second. We need to listen to not just what he says, but then we need to see how he lives. After all, the words of Talkative sounded like the thoughts of a faithful Christian, didn't they? I mean, he sounded like he was a very sound person. I mean, he was talking about all these doctrines that you find in the Bible. He's talking very much like Christian does and how Faithful does. The fact is, they were. But did you notice that there was a lot of repetition? When Faithful would say something, Talkative would basically say the same thing. And then Faithful would say something else, and Talkative would say the same thing, and sort of just mirroring each other. And so even though it was there in his head, it wasn't down there in his heart. Well, Christian knew Talkative from his former life, if you remember. He knew three things about Talkative that Faithful did not know. First, he knew that Talkative's life did not measure up to his talk. He was all talk and no walk. The second thing he knew about him was his life looked better from a distance than from close up. And the illustration was a painting, a picture. You've all seen those impressionist paintings that when they are at a distance, you can kind of really get an idea of everything that the painter is trying to portray in that on that canvas. But when you get up close, it's not as clear. And it's really not as pretty. We were, as a family, going to an antique store last Monday, and I found a book that was of some impressionist paintings of flags, American flags. And when I held it out here, they looked pretty good, but as I got closer, they were a little wild. And that's what he says. When someone is all talk, it's going to show that there's no walk. But then the third thing that he knew about Talkative is that his witness before others was deceptive. His witness before others was deceptive. Turn with me in your Bibles first tonight to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, because in the second letter that Peter writes, he actually warns us about these kinds of deceptive talkers. And so as Christians, we need to be aware and alert of people that are all talk and no walk. In fact, Peter describes them in this way in 2 Peter 3:17. He says, these, and he's especially talking about false teachers. Again, they're false because they are all talk and no walk. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. This is what a deceptive talker is like. They speak these great swelling words of vanity in order to allure others to hear what they have to say. So we need to beware of those who talk with those kinds of words, great swelling words that can deceive you. But we also need to remember this in a personal way. We need to beware ourselves to not use our words to deceive. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:37, you don't need to turn there, but he says, let your communication be what? Yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more of these cometh of evil. In other words, you need to be true to your word. You need to make sure that your talk matches with your walk, that your talk is a witness of the truth and not of error. All talk, when it is not backed up with the truth, is deceptive. But then second, and I think we see this in the life of Talkative before he met with Christian and Faithful. All talk is also deadly when it is not tamed by the Lord. It's deadly to others. Go with me now to James chapter 3. We're going to spend most of our time in the book of James because it talks a lot about our talk. James chapter 3, and we see the importance of a tamed tongue. Look at verses 1 through 8 of James 3 with me. He writes, my brethren, be not many masters. Now, if we stop there, this is what Talkative wanted to be. Or at least this is what Talkative thought himself to be. Because he wanted to talk about all these great, deep doctrinal truths, and yet he really didn't have a hard understanding of them. And so, again, James is addressing this kind of person. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. In other words, the more you know, the more you're going to be responsible for. Verse 2. For in many things we offend all, James writes. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect and a complete man, and able also to bridle the whole body. And he uses a lot of illustrations here. He says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor, the pilot listeth. And then he says, bringing it home, even so the tongue, your tongue, my tongue, is a little member and boasteth great things. Again, Peter described it as great swelling words of vanity. Boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So we have three illustrations here. We have the bit in a horse's mouth, a very small element that can move a huge horse. We have that small rudder of a ship, can move that ship wherever it needs to go. And then we have that small fire, that small spark that can create even a forest fire. And then he says again, verse 6, the tongue is a fire. Your tongue, my tongue, if it's not tamed by God, is a fire. Has all this devastating potential. It's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on the fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. I enjoyed watching the Arnold's children play with our dog. And thankfully, she calmed down a little bit and they were able to throw the toy and she'd bring back the toy. And I think Jeremy was able to get her to shake hands and do some things. We can tame animals. But what does James say in verse 8? The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So once again, we find here that the tongue, a talkative tongue that is not tamed by the Lord, can be very, very deadly to others. So here in Bunyan's tale, talkative considered himself to be this master of everything, including spiritual things. He says, oh, you want to talk about worldly things, I'll talk about that. If you want to talk about spiritual things, I'll talk about that. If you want to talk about this, that, or the other, I know something about it, and I'll share it with you. Oh, he was knowledgeable, and he was a gifted speaker. He was very winsome. He even was able to deceive faithful. And his speech, unlike Peter, did not betray him. It did not betray him. You couldn't just recognize him based on what he said. And that's why we need to beware of talk that comes from an untamed tongue. And I think this is what took place in Talkative's life. Remember how a Christian was saying, well, he was a saint abroad, but a devil at home. Why? Because the very words that he used to bless others abroad was the same tongue that he used to curse others at home. And isn't this something that we need to recognize in our own homes, in our own families, and even in our own church, is that our speech can betray us. And we need to make sure that our tongues have been tamed by God so that we do not become this kind of talkative. So that we share the words of truth and righteousness and peace, not just abroad, but even in our home. I know I've told to my wife and probably to many of you at times, it's sad that we treat those that are closest to us worse than we treat those that perhaps do not know us as well. So think about your own tongue. Has it been tamed by the Lord? Is it something that God is able to use to bless and not curse? We need to beware of talk that comes from an untamed tongue, because all talk, when it is not tamed by the Lord, can be deadly to others. But then third, all talk is also dangerous. It's also dangerous when it does not match your walk. In fact, it's dangerous to you. It can be deadly to others, but it's very dangerous to you. And that was the real problem with talkative. As Bunyan wrote in his marginal note, he says, talkative talks, but does not. Talkative talks, but does not. Christian describes talkative in a lot of unflattering ways. And I think one of the things that we see is, you know, we think that, was he gossiping? And I think that was one of the things that Faithful was concerned about, And obviously there was a concern by Christian for Faithful, so he was warning about him. It wasn't for gossip. It was rather to warn his brother about this Talkative. Talkative was one who would talk of prayer, talk of repentance, talk of faith, talk of the new birth. But Christian said he knew only to talk of them. It was not true of him. We know a lot about the Bible. I think most of us have been in church our entire lives and we've learned a lot from God's Word. Is it, as Bunyan writes, all talk? Or is it something that we apply? Is it something that we see? Is it something that is true? You know, James also addresses this in James chapter 1. Go back a page with me to James 1 verses 19 through 21. Again, James writes, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." You see, Talkative was slow to hear and swift to speak. And James says, no, it needs to be the other way. If you look at verse 20, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." But here's some familiar words. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers," and may I add, "or talkers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. It's not just talk. It's to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Our words matter very little if they are not backed up by our works. But only if those works flow from a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, once again, we need to make sure we have the right order. We need to beware of talk that does not match a walk that flows from God and His Word. And that is, that kind of talk is very dangerous. It's deadly to others, but it's also dangerous to us. And that is especially the case for those who've been blessed to devote their lives to the study and to the sharing of God's Word through teaching and preaching. This really hit home with me when I read the comments of someone who said that the preaching and teaching ministry about sacred things is a, quote, spiritually dangerous profession. I remember when I was in college, we had some classes where some of the instructors who were pastors at the time would say, when Paul says, take heed to yourselves, you need to take heed to yourselves as pastors and as preachers and as teachers of the Word of God. And that would apply to someone that is up here, or even if you're a Sunday school teacher down there. And the truth is, it is a spiritually dangerous profession because it's so easy to get caught up in the Word to be able to talk about it instead of really apply it to your own life. It's a dangerous thing. That's true. That's why Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He says, "I," now, you think about Paul. I mean, he was a preacher, a teacher, an elder, an apostle, of course. And he says, "I keep under my body." That doesn't mean that he just went out and exercised all the time, but rather he kept himself disciplined. He wanted to make sure that his talk matched his walk. And he says, "I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He knew the importance of applying to his walk what he said in his talk. But once again, this is something that needs to be applied to all of our lives as Christians. Your talk needs to be backed up with the truth. Otherwise, it's deceptive. Your talk needs to be tamed by the Lord. Otherwise, it can be destructive to others. Your talk needs to be matched with your walk. Otherwise, it could be destructive for yourself. Is that the case with your tongue and your talk tonight? Is it backed up with the truth? Is it tamed by the Lord? Is it matched with your walk? Or are you like this talkative, where it's all talk? If you see in talkative more of yourself than in faithful or Christian, what do? Well, you need to remember that even though the tongue can no man tame, like James says, there is one who can tame your tongue. And who is that? The Lord. God. The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's why He saves. He saves people like talkative. In fact, that's one of the things that Christian said about talkative. You know, if you start to really hone into his heart and his life, he'll either leave us alone, or maybe God will touch his heart and change him. And that's what we need to pray for if we find ourselves being all talk. Say, Lord, I have sinned with my tongue. Maybe I do not back up my words with the truth. Maybe I'm a liar. Maybe I'm deceptive with my words. Maybe I'm deceptive with my life. Maybe I am not backing up my talk with my walk. Or maybe, Lord, I have been abusive with my words to others. What do? You go to the Lord who can change you once again from the inside out. What do? You confess. The Bible says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Not just the words of our body or the sins of our body, but the sins of our tongue. But then believe. Believe that when Jesus died for your sin, He died for that sin too. And then live and talk as Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. In other words, let your words reflect God's words. Because when that is the case in your mouth, in your life, it will be backed up with the truth. It will be tamed by the Lord, and it will match your walk. So let us pray and ask the Lord to help us not be all talk. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You again for this lesson about how our talk needs to match, or our walk needs to match our talk, and our talk needs to match our walk. We need to be consistent, Lord, with our lives as before You. And I thank You again for this example that John Bunyan wrote for us about this man talking, which was clearly an issue in his day, and yet perhaps, Lord, it's even an issue today. When we think about how easy it is to spout off our opinions about things on social media, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or anything else, Lord, or even through emails, sometimes we can do so anonymously. And yet, Father, we recognize that that is not how You want our conversations to be as Your children. And so, Father, I pray that if there is an issue with our tongues, with our talk tonight, that, Lord, we will bring that before You and lay it before You and ask for Your help, because there's nothing we can do to tame our tongue. But, Lord, we're thankful that You can. And we pray, oh Lord, that You will. So, Father, I pray that this week we will consider how our words portray our Lord, portray our witness, portray what we know and believe about Him, and that, Lord, You will, again, change our tongue, change our talk, so that it will ever be as if we were speaking each day to each person, just like the oracles and the very Word of God itself. We're thankful for John Bunyan as an example of that, even in his tale. So, Father, I pray that we will not be all talk. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.